Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. We're excited that we're all here once again. They say, as you get older, any day above ground is a good day. So we're definitely thankful for being here. Today, we do have a few things of importance to talk about, including the 2022 Officer Award nominations. You can nominate your coworker, your boss, if you so desire, or even yourself, for one of many different awards. In fact, these nominations opened up last week. We've already had quite a few who have sent in nominations. I believe these nominations will be open until September the 10th, so you do have plenty of time to get involved there as well. Private Officer International recognizes private security, private law enforcement, investigators, loss prevention, and law enforcement, as well as from time to time, we also recognize citizens who have gotten involved and made a difference. Whether that's someone who has stopped and performed CPR in the mall, or someone who stopped to aid a law enforcement officer. So, again, there is a wide variety of folks that can be recognized and will be recognized in our annual Private Officer Award nominations and ceremony for this year. For more information, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And just to give you an idea, over the years, we've awarded 30, 40, I think one year we awarded up to 73 awards. And we also, over the last 3 years, have been awarding COVID-19 awards for personnel who have worked out in their regular jobs, doing security, working with the public while this whole pandemic situation was happening. So contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you don't receive our breaking news alerts, our officer down reports, just go to privateofficer.org. You can sign up. A box is going to drop down. You can sign up today. There's no fee. We don't spam you, and we don't sell your information. Also, you can read our breaking news 24/7 at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. In the news right now, Bobo, be on the lookout in the Maryland, Pennsylvania area. According to the Pennsylvania State Police, they're calling this person a person of interest in the murder of a security officer who was fatally shot in New Morgan, Pennsylvania. The state police say two security officers were assigned on Quarry Road in New Morgan last Saturday. Troy Rickenbach, 37, was shot and killed when he and the second security officer approached a suspicious vehicle that was trespassing on private property. Rickenbach approached the suspicious vehicle when he noticed someone was hiding inside, according to the latest state police release. After he returned to the security van, police say that's when the person in the vehicle opened fire on the two security officers. Rickenbach died of his wounds. The second security officer has survived. The vehicle that was involved is also part of the Bolo. It was a blue Chrysler minivan. Now, the shooter, and I'm not sure how they know this since he was inside the van, is described to be about 6 feet tall, about 230 pounds. Police said the man is believed to have had reddish brown beard and was wearing a baseball cap. Anyone at all who recognized the photo that has been put out, it's actually a drawing, please contact 610-378-4011. That's 610-378-4011. You can also submit information anonymously to Crime Alert Berks County. If you have not seen a picture of this wanted suspect, you can go to our blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Contact our office at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, or you may contact the Burke County State Troopers Barracks. This was a devastating loss, obviously, to the family, but also to the community. The employer said that these security officers were good, honest, hardworking people, and we want to track down that suspect who is involved. We have said repeatedly over the last few years that homicides, murders of security officers are up drastically, as are the attacks and assaults on private security and private police across the country. Tragically, it's not being taken seriously, and even more tragically, employers are not doing anything about it. This week on the program, on the Private Officer Beat Radio, we do have quite a few things to talk about. And remember, you can always send breaking news to us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Along with everything that's happening this year with Private Officer International, we're going to be back on the road and looking forward to it to conduct a number of memorial services. Every year, with the exception of the last two because of COVID, we go from location to location, and we put on a short memorial service. We educate the public as to what security officers really do. We educate the media and law enforcement. And during the memorial service, we recognize the fallen officers from the previous year, as well as fallen law enforcement. If you would like to sponsor one of these at your church, business, or school, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You can always donate to the benevolent. Go to privateofficer.org, click on the officer down page, and you can also become involved in the benevolent program where we assist fallen officers or injured officers. Again, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we do have a lot more to talk about. We have, we always do, of course, but we do have some important things to take care of on this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
Driving a car is basically like driving a weapon.
My friend died because someone made a bad driving decision.
My uncle died because someone didn't think before they got behind the wheel.
You let down your parents and your loved ones.
You could lose your friends. Parents don't like their kids hanging out with criminals.
Drunk driving is just as bad as drunk driving.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Welcome back to the Private Oscar Beat Radio on this Monday morning. Every year, Private Officer International, since its inception, has sponsored a memorial service of some sort. Sometimes it's been virtual and sometimes it's been in person. But during the rest of the year, we are probably one of only one organizations that makes itself available to assist security officers with their financial needs, providing other resources and aid to them, especially when security officers are injured in the line of duty. Both POI members and non-members alike are assisted through our organization. And only once a year, right around the same time as we hold our memorial, do we conduct a fundraising to aid and assist in our services, especially to those injured in the line of duty. And when security officers are injured in the line of duty, they are not paid immediately by their employer. Some of their employers don't even have general liability or workers' comp insurance. Some of their employers don't even pay them on a regular basis. And sometimes when they do, the checks bounce. We aid and assist as many personnel as possible across the country when they have a financial crisis. We aid them in consultation. We hook them up with chaplains and other professionals across the country, depending on their need. And we don't charge anything to anyone for those services. Additionally, Private Officer International has always worked with Crime Stoppers across the country, every state, every area of every state. They have separate Crime Stopper offices. They kind of act independently. And we have worked with them in multiple cases and offered awards to be posted for information leading to the arrest and capture and conviction of those responsible for the murder of security officers. But every year, with the increased amount of officers being injured and killed, with the increased needs of men and women in the security, loss prevention, and private law enforcement field, we find ourselves strapped oftentimes for cash and unable to assist as many people as we would like to, or not to assist them in the manner that we would like to assist them. If our membership and those who follow our news, our radio show, those who benefit from our free training, and many of the folks who contact our office for assistance are not paid members of the association, but we help them anyways. So many people do benefit from all of the different resources and services that we provide. But the need far outweighs what we can financially handle. And many years, it's come honestly straight out of my pocket. It has not come out of any type of funding that's been donated. It has come right out of my pocket. When you help organizations like the Red Cross or the Salvation Army or some other local charity, the money and resources that they provide to people needing their service comes from the community, not from them. And in our situation, oftentimes it comes from us and not from charity, not from fundraising, not from our community, but from me and my company. This is the time of year when we ask each and every single one of you to donate toward the Benevolent Fund to assist primarily those security officers who are injured or the families of those security officers that are killed, or to fund other resources that men and women in this industry need. We have started programs such as the Vest for Life a number of years ago, but because of the lack of financial support, we couldn't buy any more vests. We couldn't give away free vests because they weren't free. They were coming out of my pocket, out of the Private Officer International pocket. And so we have a lot of different resources available that are offered free, but we're maxed out. We're stretched thinner than we could ever possibly think of. So on Sunday, yesterday, we did send out an email. We posted on Facebook and social media that this is the time of year that we are raising funds, and we're asking that you get involved and that you donate. You can donate on a one-time basis. You can donate monthly. If you want to donate some other method, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Please pass this information on to coworkers, to your supervisors and managers and company owners. We assist public safety. We assist security, loss prevention, private police, and we need your donation. We need your help to continue doing so. Thank you, and God bless you. And we're going to go to a commercial. When we come back, we've got a lot of breaking news, just like always. And on this week's radio show, we're going to be talking about nightclub security. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media and Private Officer International.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Ma'am, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst. And I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Be sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three-quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit EverydayHeroCT.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
You don't know what it's like until you're a parent. Letting go.
Because we used to protect her.
But now with the Smart Pepper Spray from Saber, we can feel a little better knowing that if something happens, she can protect herself. Not only is it the number one pepper spray brand, it also has smart features to connect us instantly when it matters most. The Smart Pepper Spray connects via Bluetooth to the free Saber Personal Safety app. With her selected contacts loaded into the app, we receive an alert if and when the pepper spray is deployed. Even better, the alert links to a map where we can geo-track her exact location to make sure she gets to safety. We also opted into the Saber Premium Monitoring Service to make sure that if needed, local police will be alerted and given the ability to track and help her. That's all built on top of Saber's maximum strength formula for maximum stopping power with a 10-foot range and 25 bursts per canister.
So if she's ever in a dangerous situation,
we'll know.
Is everything okay?
I'm fine. I just got scared, but I'm fine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because when you're a dad,
when you're mom,
knowing that your daughter, your loved ones are safe,
that's
everything.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio for this Monday morning. A lot of news, of course, hanging out over here at the news desk. Want to remind you folks, you can read our news 24/7 every day, 365 days a year at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Listen to all of our news on our radio shows, and be sure to join the conversations at facebook.com/Private Officer International and over on Twitter at twitter.com/Private Officer. And we're also on other social media platforms, but this is probably the three best ways to stay in tune and in touch with Private Officer. Now, I want to give a big shout out this week to our many listeners who have taken on listening to my other new radio show, Coastal Alabama's Highway 98 Radio, a real music, news, local event radio broadcasted three times a week on local media platforms and national platforms, including iHeartRadio and 27 other platforms, and carried locally as well. And I know that a lot of my listeners here have switched over to take a listen, and they've enjoyed it. They've given it thumbs up. They've made comments. So thank you very much for listening to Coastal Alabama Highway 98 Radio. I'm having a lot of fun. Something that's in my blood, and I think we're serving a purpose, as I think we are here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. I would ask that you spread the word and let your coworkers know and everyone else about Private Officer Beat Radio, all the great news and information, training every week. This week we'll be talking about nightclubs, the violence, you know, alcohol and weapons and so much more. And we're always sharing really useful information. We're going to be adding a couple of features, including one about entrepreneurship and one about officer safety in upcoming radio programs. Remember, also, you can listen to On the Legal Side, where it's all about legal information for the security industry, and the LP Zone coming up this Wednesday, right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. All right, let's get on over to the news, because we do have a lot of news. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a security officer detained a shooting suspect. Police have arrested 25-year-old Jamel Jones, who's facing charges of aggravated assault and recklessly endangering another person. According to the Pittsburgh Public Safety Department, this happened at 11:30 p.m. on Saturday night. A security officer in the area heard the shooting and was able to make that apprehension. Also coming out of Georgia, a not-so-good news story, actually. The Gwinnett County Police Department, that's just north of Atlanta, has arrested a Georgia State University police officer on the charges of rape and kidnapping of a woman. He met the lady for dinner, and then they went and had some alcoholic beverages, went to his apartment, and evidently that's where the rape took place. According to police, Terry Payne, 59, of Loganville, is currently incarcerated and awaiting his first court appearance. Also in the news, and this is kind of a situation where it's really hard for me to explain who, what, where, why it happened. Atlanta police hunting down a wanted felon on their most wanted list arrested the suspect in a peculiar manner. They got a tip that the suspect, Jordan Pack, was in fact working as an armed security guard in Atlanta. The Atlanta's most wanted fugitive was met by heavy police presence and at first continued to walk toward officers after being told to get on the ground. They pointed their AR-15s at him and took him into custody without any type of physical force. Police say that he was wearing camouflage, a firearm, body armor, and possessed a shotgun at the time of the arrest. Atlanta police say that Pack was wanted for multiple aggravated assault charges and felony warrants from three other counties. There's no information in the Atlanta police release relating to who Pack was working for or what his original charges were that made him a convicted felon, which means he could not possess, own, or be near those guns. Coming out of Brooklyn, New York, we mentioned on the news a couple of weeks ago, we sent out a news report as well, that Johnny Pizarro, 31, who was working as a security guard on the Law and Order film set there in Brooklyn, was shot and killed on July the 12th in the early morning hours. Now police are saying that he actually was followed and targeted by the suspect on a bicycle, but that they now believe this may have been some type of drug robbery because police found designer marijuana, a large quantity of designer marijuana, in a cooler in the security officer's vehicle. The weed, labeled Cali or California, was stored in a cooler. Police believe that he was distributing and selling, and possibly, you know, that's the reason why he was targeted. Police in El Mirage, Arizona say parents interfered after there was a report of an armed suspect on the campus and a school lockdown. Parents began receiving text messages and phone calls from children inside the school, and they rushed to the school, some of them armed, and interfered with police. Three parents were arrested for having guns on school property, interfering with law enforcement, and trespassing. This is not the first time in the last few weeks that we have seen this. We have seen this very thing play out several times, including in Oklahoma. Look, I get it. You're upset. You want to get to your kids. But going to the school campus armed isn't the right way. It only leads to more confusion, and then they would not listen. They would not comply with police. This is not good. In Ardmore, Oklahoma, a Birmingham, Alabama man wanted for arson and murder was nabbed by McDonald customers. It seemed that the man, Hewitt DeWitt Jones, 35, was held down by McDonald's employees and customers when he attempted to carjack a person about 100 miles south of Oklahoma City. Jones was taken down by a group of people seeing him trying to carjack someone else. In Birmingham, police there say he's wanted for killing a female and then setting the vehicle and the body on fire. So this is a great job by, you know, just ordinary people trying to make a difference. In Cleveland, Ohio, a group of security employees that work downtown are joining the Service Employees International Union in hopes to organize security guards working in the downtown Cleveland area. All trying to get more money and better benefits. We're seeing more and more people around the country joining unions in hope that they will receive pay raises and benefits. Currently, one of the security officers interviewed said he makes about $13 an hour, and although his compensation has risen over the years, he feels squeezed out by rising costs, and still, he has no benefits. Again, they don't really see the overall picture because unions are going to take a big piece of that raise that you get. Police in New Morgan, Pennsylvania have released a composite, and we sent out an immediate news alert on this composite when it was released within a few hours of it being released. The Pennsylvania State Police released a composite sketch of a man they believe may have been involved in the shooting death of a security officer in the 200 block of Quarry Road in New Morgan last Saturday. Troy Rickenbach was working with another security officer when he spotted a suspicious vehicle trespassing on private property. He went up to investigate, and as he returned to the security van, that's when he was shot and killed by somebody in that vehicle. A second security officer was injured. In Memphis, investigators with the sheriff's department and the school system are investigating after a viral video showed a student being tossed around on the floor by security over an alleged dress code violation. While some say that security used excessive force and that they escalated instead of de-escalated the situation, others say that it was the student who escalated the situation and that security officers were trying to protect themselves and to detain the person to bring to the principal's office. We are following this, and we have seen, again, this situation for a number of years across the country. Security trying to do the job, not always with the best training, and I really hope that we can change things around and get them the training, especially if they're going to be going hands-on. In Oakland County, Michigan, we told you on last week's program, a lawsuit alleging that an armed security officer neglected to stop an active shooter that led to the death of four students. Now, that security officer, who is a retired former law enforcement officer, has been added to the lawsuit. And everything that I've read so far is just very egregious. And I don't know what she was thinking. And so we're going to follow this, and we'll have more news as we get it. In Wake County, North Carolina, a deputy sheriff was shot and killed Thursday night in the eastern part of the county. The shooting happened near a gas station. Police say around 11 o'clock at night. Circumstances are sketchy. Right now, police aren't saying really what happened, but it was Sergeant Matthew Fishman who did pass away. In reading just recently, it seemed like the number of officers being killed fluctuates. It's high one day or one week, and then next week there's no deaths, and that is the same with private security. In Honolulu, Hawaii, police are questioning why in the world a security officer and someone else in a vehicle stopped a man with a machete, was involved in malicious, disorderly conduct, but a security officer and another man in a vehicle allegedly stopped and then ran this man over. The black car was last seen with four people, including a security guard, physically attacking the man and then running him over. Police have not taken him into custody. Lauderdale Lakes, Florida. A man who was completely uniformed as a security officer, including a firearm, walked into a cell phone shop like he was going to buy a cell phone at the Mobile One store at 3680 West Oakland Park Boulevard and robbed it. Police said he took several thousand dollars worth of cell phones at gunpoint. Police now are looking for him. We also told you last week in Washington, D.C., a very tragic situation where a special police officer who was in a training class at a library was killed accidentally or maliciously or negligently. It doesn't matter. Now, the D.C. Library's public safety director has resigned. A spokesperson said that Douglas Morency, who was the director, has resigned after that death. Could he face possible charges? We don't know, but we are looking further into this because, as I said on the program last week, who takes a loaded gun into a training classroom? Firefighters in Milwaukee say security must be hired to guard a former North Ridge Mall after the fourth fire in a month has occurred in this expansive complex. The fire department's fire chief says his department will not continue responding to the fire calls there unless this property owner hires private security, because it's very dangerous every time firefighters go inside. In Dumfries, Virginia, a school security officer has been arrested for having a gun on the property. Police say Robert Wilson, 37, was charged with possession of a firearm on school grounds, and he's being held without bond, which really is questionable. Staying there in Virginia, in Arlington, Virginia, a security officer on patrol was robbed. A flashlight was taken, but this occurred near the police headquarters. And within moments, police had the suspect in custody. The security officer also had been following the suspect a short distance, notified a passing police car, and they took the suspect into custody. In Kansas City, Missouri, a security is being blamed for multiple thefts and burglaries at a nonprofit. Video caught the security officer, who was working at a separate location nearby, coming onto the property and stealing ACs, TVs, pipes, and then bringing back a number of his buddies several times to continue the theft. It was all caught on video. Police say that the security guard faces multiple felonies, as do several others. Remember, you can always read our breaking news at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, today we want to talk about nightclub security. Is it really worth, as a security company owner, assigning your staff in that danger zone? We'll be right back. Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Ross.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Down Reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email,
then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. Privateofficer.org. And
frustrated. That's how one security company owner put it when talking to local media last month in Houston, Texas, after one of his employees was involved in a fatal shooting at a nightclub. And this was not the first time that his company had been involved in such a situation. Employees of his security company have been involved in 3 fatal shootings in less than 2 years, all involving nightclubs. Police investigated each and every one and deemed them all to be justifiable homicide, all situations of self-defense. In Dallas, Texas, just over the weekend, 2 more security officers at a men's club, aka strip club, called Pandora's Men Club in Northwest Dallas, were involved in their own shooting incidents. They told police that a man got into his vehicle after a confrontation and drove toward them. Police arrived. The man was critical. An investigation continues. According to a law enforcement spokesperson, a physical fight with the nightclub security occurred prior to the incident. Several people escorted out, and that's when one of them got into a vehicle and allegedly began driving toward the security when both security officers fired their weapons, striking Cavillo Guzman. Neither security officers were taken into custody, but the case has been already sent to the Dallas County District Attorney's Office for possible charges. It's only been a few months since a similar shooting at another cabaret in Dallas ended with a security guard charged after fatally shooting a woman. In April, the security officer was involved in the shooting during an argument. A security officer was shot by someone, then a female got into a vehicle, and once again, security said the driver seemed to be headed toward them recklessly, and that's when they opened fire. The security officer in that situation also in custody. Nightclubs, bars, after-hour clubs, gentlemen's clubs, aka strip joints, restaurants that serve alcohol. These type of businesses have always been in the top 5 most dangerous for private security to work at, and also in the top 5 for the most use of force against and by private security. Now, you may say, well, that's probably just bouncers involved. Those are just people hired by the club. They're not real security. Yeah, there are times when these are individuals hired by the nightclub, but many times these days, they're contract security officers who are licensed by their state or, in some areas, by the county or city under an ordinance. When you take firearms and alcohol and put them together, they just don't mix very well. When a contract security company takes on a nightclub, they have to believe, they have to weigh out the risk and dangers of this particular type of an assignment and understand what they're getting into, as opposed to doing security at a construction site or an office building or a shopping center. Every year, dozens of security officers are arrested and charged with excessive use of force, aggravated assault with a weapon, manslaughter, second-degree murder. Are these really the risks that security companies should take? Again, just this weekend in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a security officer was involved in a shooting situation where a man was shot. He was able to take that suspect into custody. But again, this was a very high-risk incident. This month in Greensboro, North Carolina, authorities there arrested a security officer for the shooting death of a individual who had been involved in a altercation of some type with some other folks, but police investigating the shooting said that the teenager was unarmed and that the use of force was unwarranted. Now also, the nightclub owners themselves at the Blind Tiger have been arrested. The manager charged with allowing violations to occur on the ABC licensed premises and hiring unlicensed armed security, Jason Leonard, 28, and Anthony Delaney, 28, of Greensboro, employees of the club, also charged with providing unlicensed armed security and allowing violations to occur on the ABC licensed premises. Authorities in multiple states that have alcohol law enforcement are constantly going before the media talking about the untrained security, both proprietary and contract, that continue to use deadly force in these nightclubs when it's unwarranted. We're finding that many times, even when someone is hiring contract security, that these security officers are not trained in the use of force. They have minimal standard training as required by their state and oftentimes don't know how to even deal with the public. We keep track of all of the incidents involving nightclub security year after year after year. And we can tell you that it's definitely getting worse. We can sit here all day long and we can point fingers and we can play the blame game. And honestly, there are some folks who do need to take the blame, and that's both the club owners, the people hiring both the untrained, unlicensed security officer as well as the licensed contract security officers who don't have the necessary training to be working in a nightclub and dealing with people who are under the influence. I mean, you know, when people are drinking alcohol, they are 10 feet tall and bulletproof, and they don't think that, you know, anything can touch them, and they're going to fight to the dying death. They're not going to comply. They're not going to listen. They're not going to be easy to deal with in many cases. Are we training our security officers to de-escalate, to be able to communicate, to understand that when you're in this type of setting, who it is that you're dealing with and how alcohol and drugs play a huge part on how these people respond to authority? Just last month in Kansas City, Missouri, two police officers working off-duty security at a nightclub, they themselves were involved in a shooting that left one man dead and five others injured. It happened about 11 p.m. at the Westport Ale House. Authorities say a disturbance, a fight broke out. The off-duty police officers did engage the shooter. No officers there were injured. And this is another aspect, component of nightclub security. Not only do we have contract security officers and bouncers that are hired by the clubs and proprietary security, we have off-duty police officers in some areas that work off-duty security at these nightclubs. There are many different components at play, and as I said, when you're talking about combining alcohol, firearms, and people who are already maybe rough and tough. Some are criminals. Some have mental health illnesses. We're talking about a recipe for disaster, to be honest with you. So any contract security company who feels like they have to work this type of environment, I just don't understand it myself. Every year, security officers are killed at nightclubs. They're generally unarmed, but sometimes they are armed. They generally are outnumbered by dozens. So when there is an incident, there's going to be multiple people fighting security. And that is, again, a recipe for disaster. Last month in New York City, such a case occurred where a security officer who was unarmed was murdered at a nightclub. Phoenix, Arizona, last month also, a 35-year-old who was denied access into the nightclub attacked and killed the security officer. Last month, three different security officer deaths, all occurring at nightclubs. A security officer in Syracuse at a nightclub just in the last 10 days was stabbed multiple times during a confrontation with somebody who was intoxicated that would not leave the bar. A security officer was threatened with a gun at a Miami gay bar last month. Two killed, two others shot at a Gary, Indiana nightclub 3 weeks ago. A Cleveland security officer murdered at a nightclub in June of this year. Two dead, including a Mesa, Arizona security officer in June at a nightclub. A woman, 25, arrested after attacking a Waikiki bouncer, aka security, with a knife. This was in June of this year, June 7th. And these stories are not uncommon. These incidents occur every day across our country. I don't really know if there is a solution other than when we take on these type of nightclubs, we need to have more than one or two. We need to have an army of trained security officers. A man charged after shooting a security officer in Sioux Falls. This happened in May. A Memphis nightclub security officer has been shot and killed. A San Antonio security officer detains a shooting suspect that occurred in the nightclub. A D.C. police officer is charged after he assaulted two Maryland security officers at a nightclub in May. A security guard fired and shot and killed a gunman and wounded two others at El Paso, Texas bar, this occurring also in May. And I could read these stories from our post in our blog on and on and on. Bottom line, alcohol and firearms don't mix. Having untrained, unskilled security officers on duty in these environments don't mix. If you are a contract security company owner or manager and you're going to put your people there in harm's way, then we need to have them completely trained. We need to have the correct staffing on site. If they're going to carry a firearm, be sure that not only are they licensed to carry it, but they are trained, that you're not going to a static range once a year, but that you are doing real firearm training, survival training, tactical training, close quarter training with those firearms, because you are going to be in close quarters. As with many security accounts and many contract security companies, it's more about the money than about lives. And that's where I find great fault with contract security business. I believe that we really need to take a hard look at what we're doing, the services that we're providing, the training that we're providing, and consider life before profits or before money of any type. And that's going to do it for this show. Thank you for being with us. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.